Okay. All right. So it is 5:30 and we're going to go ahead and get started. And this is the Monday, May 24th Transportation Infrastructure Services Committee. I do know that we have a lot of guests today, but unfortunately we are not, since if you can see the agenda, I am not going to have time to have outside questions at this meeting. A lot of these agenda items will end up at the COW, so there will be an opportunity to discuss them with the full council going forward. So with that said, we'll move right ahead because we have a large agenda to cover, and I would like to be able to end this meeting about 10 minutes to 7 to give the council members a break and staff before we go into our committee of the whole meeting. So we'll get started. The first item on the agenda is the 2021 Overlay and Repair Program Bid Award. And I believe this is Mr. Bates.
Yes, good evening, council persons and council president. Today we're looking for a recommendation to award the bid for construction of our 2021 Overlay Program. The Overlay Program preserves and maintains the streets of Tukwila. Our project this year will include 7 locations, which also includes 53rd Avenue South and South 137th sidewalks, a new rectangular flashing beacon at a newly marked crosswalk at Thorndike Elementary. And I'd also like to include a separate but related project where we will be adding speed cushions to the Thorndike school zone on South 150th as well, and also up on 37th near South 140th. Those are all products that were purchased back in 2019, but didn't get installed in 2020 due to COVID issues. So we had a call for bids in May, and we opened 5 bids. That was an error in my memo where I said 3 bids. We got several very good bids, and the lowest bidder was Miles Resources. We used them actually last year's overlay, and they were very good to work with. The bid came in under the engineer's estimate, and there were no bidding errors. The KPG supplemental contract this year for construction management would be $50,000 less, and so that gives us the available budget for contingency for a total of $1,089,226. Which is well within our 2021 asphalt annual overlay budget. We're asking council to move this forward to for the consent agenda and recommend the award.
Great, thank you. Councilmember Quinn, questions, comments?
Just briefly, these are, I appreciate that this is under the budgeted amount. And in your memo, you talked about what couldn't get done in 2019. And so what gets pushed back from 2020? Like, how are we on the schedule related to overlay? It would make sense because we were pretty much indoors and frequency of school. So it made sense, but I want to make sure we don't lose any traction on this process, as you know, we get too far out, then we're in some real trouble and we're fighting for bids and arbitrarily driving up the cost for future projects.
I think, Councilmember Quinn, I think we did really good this year in getting back on track. We lost a little ground last year. We're picking those projects up this year for the overlay. That's how we save some money in design. We had $50,000 left over in the design budget. We've rolled that into construction, which saves us on CM as well, which we'll address in the next topic. But we added a couple of projects this year to last year's overlay, and we got it right in at the dollar amount we're looking for. We'd like it to be as close as possible to our budget, so we're utilizing those funds. But we have to leave a little wiggle room in there, too, in case we have some unexpected costs. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, and just reiterating here, we're maximizing, you know, projects on the street with CM support and you know, to complete these things, we're just, again, we're being efficient with how we build the team and how we pay for what we need to pay for.
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod.
Got a couple of quick questions. Can you remind me how you decide on the 7 locations?
Yes, sir. The 7 locations this year were chose based on what we'd already designed for 2020, but we didn't complete. Those were off of our priority list that we had prior to our new pavement study that we accomplished that was just finished up last year. Beginning 2022, we will be prioritizing off of that list with our new pavement management study that's up to date now. It gives us 5 years of build out. So we know in the next 5 years which roadway segments should be prioritized. And we will be working primarily off of that list as the pavement management condition ratings recommend, with guidance from council and administration and also other CIP projects that might overlay with roadways rebuild. There's no sense in us paving a roadway that, like McAdam Road, that's going to get a water main in the next year or so.
Okay. So to follow up that point, the map, a little small, or my eyes are getting bad, or both. Does that map include Ryan Hill?
Yes, sir, it does. It isn't, it is a little hard to read. I would admit that. Ryan Hill gets 2 roadways paved. They're adjoining roadways, which are South 109th and 48th Avenue South. South 109th is an existing paved roadway, and 48th Avenue South is an unpaved dogleg road off of 48th, which goes up to a couple of residents back there. Since it was a city street, we've been kind of trying to work on getting that roadway paved and making sure we've got some projects going up there. I would like to bring up also that we've kind of been doing this spread it throughout the city pattern, and we'll present something in our next roadway selection, probably in the fall for design. And that is, it's much more cost efficient if we were to work a certain area and not spread our projects out so much, because we pay more mobilization that way. It's much more efficient to work a certain area. So we might need to discuss doing a rotation of neighborhoods, in that we concentrate on maybe Ryan 1 year and then Allentown and Cascade. We try to rotate these through. We want to try to still do some commercial stuff because it's very important to keep up with that. But if we can keep these consolidated into a region, and it's much more cost effective for us.
Okay, thank you, Scott. I yield back.
Thank you. And I don't have any additional questions. So, council members, are we fine forwarding this to the June 7th regular meeting consent agenda? All right, thank you. So that brings us to our second item, which is the 2021 Overlay and Repair Program, a contract amendment. Mr. Bates.
Yes, we were proposing to do a contract amendment with KPG's original design contract. Their scope usually includes construction management support as well. We would like to take advantage of that again this year and do an amendment to the fee. They've attached that here, and it would be for another $147,206, which brings our total just under $300,000. Our typical budget for an annual year of design and CM is around $350,000. That $50,000 surplus is what we're going to be rolling into construction this year. So we're actually going to be using that to build streets instead of design them, which is a great option this year. So what we're looking for is to approve the amendment number one to the contract and forward this to the consent agenda for approval.
Thank you. I'll start with Councilmember McLeod. Questions, comments?
I did not have any questions. I see how you balanced it, and I'm okay with that. So no questions.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Councilmember Quinn.
I'll just briefly say, and this is kind of about efficiency, relationship, kind of design and confidence in the construction. And I would just kind of throw out, you know, a discussion that we had last week just around packages and creating opportunities for labor and bids. And so I know this isn't always a practice, and I know it's somewhat of a practice of convenience, but, you know, there are some folks looking for some work, and we're doing this for efficiency and saving money, but there's also an opportunity to really get some folks back working. So thinking about not only how we can be efficient, but also how can we make sure that there's an opportunity for packages for labor to bid on as well. Because I know with this is just, you know, it goes right to the previous contractor. And I know we need to get things done for sure. And so that you get no resistance from me here. I just wanted to make that point.
Understood.
Thank you, Deshaun. Okay, and I do not have any other questions or comments that my fellow council members didn't already ask. So are we okay forwarding this to the same consent agenda meeting, which is June 7th? Deshaun and Tom. Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Which brings us to the resolution for the 6-year transportation improvement program. And I think that's Ms. Knighton. Cindy?
Good evening.
The floor is yours.
Okay. My camera's working. It wasn't earlier today. So,
you know what? It's really hard to hear you. I'm not sure why.
Okay. I've been having technical issues today with camera and my microphone too. I'm
that's better.
Better? Okay.
Yes, that's better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. That technology, it's our frenemy, right? Well, good evening, council members. I'm here yet again to bring forward the annual 6-year transportation improvement program adoption. You see me once a year, every year on this one, and it is to update the 6-year TIP, which is something that is done required by state law and something that is done through the state. And our primary reason for doing this is to make sure that we are complying with many of the requirements. So anytime we have a project that has federal funding, we are required to be on the state transportation improvement plan. And oftentimes some of our more local grant awards are also requiring us to be on the STIP, which is the State Transportation Improvement Plan. It's also really kind of a good mid-year kind of check-in on what we have that's been included in our own internal CIP. So this document is not something that the city directly uses for any kind of financial planning, but it is kind of a good mid-check to see what has changed since the last time our CIP sheets have been updated and where we're really at. And so I say that because these will never or rarely exactly match what you see in the CIP. So again, financial planning document, it allows us to continue applying for grants. And anytime we do get a grant for that includes federal funding, we have to add it to this step. So same deal I give you every year. This year, we have deleted one project, the Boeing Access Road over the Airport Way Bridge Seismic Retrofit, and I am taking that off because we anticipate that it's going to be complete or mostly complete by July 1 of this year, which is when the state fiscal year begins. We're actually adding quite a few new projects, and some of them you may be less familiar with, but they do have federal grant money. As I mentioned, we have to get them on. So we've got three programs that are being run by our transportation demand management folks that are done, that live over in Department of Community Development. And so that's what these first, I guess it's just two projects. Sorry about that. The first two projects that are on here that we are adding. And that's keeping South King County moving with TDM or Transportation Demand Management. South King County Regional TDM and the Transportation Demand Management Implementation. All three of those are small grant amounts that are being operated and run through our TDM folks. And they have a variety of funding sources, which includes some federal funds. We also have added the South 119th Street Pedestrian Bridge Painting Project in hopes that we'll find some grant monies. So that one was preemptively added in, as well as the South Center Boulevard 65th Avenue South Signal, which was also recently added to our six-year CIP document. So that is what has changed. We will be doing a public hearing, as is required for adoption or passing of this resolution, at the June 14th Committee of the Whole meeting is when it's scheduled, and then we're asking the Council to further consider this at the June 21st regular meeting. So with that, I will not go into details and invite you to ask me questions.
Great. Thank you, Cindy. Councilmember Quinn, I'll start with you.
Just really quick, just orienting myself to this graph. When we have the column unsecured, that just means either we have a grant in and haven't received the funds, or we don't have an identified funding source.
It is more we don't have an identified funding source.
Okay.
And I'm adding that in a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Just to, as further information, so that you know, while we may have a grant shown in our CIP as something we're wanting, this kind of helps us make it clear where we don't have secured funding. It's pretty accurate. The only one that is a little bit questionable is the second from the bottom, the Transportation Demand Management Implementation. That is something that is a state allocation amount that is pretty routine, but it is tied in with the state budget. And so because it technically hasn't been allocated yet, I have put that $148K in there for that. But all of the other ones are just simply to identify where we are anticipating or we're hoping or we will be applying for grant sources in the future, but we do not have in hand.
Okay. So, and then the only other thing is where there's a gap, is this being considered or vetted for a mid-year budget adjustment? Any of these funds, any of these costs?
I don't believe so. I think that the one that would be that 42nd Avenue Bridge South replacement, and that's an item that is coming up here in here. And so I'll kind of defer that one because we did get some grant monies that were not included on our CIP. But I think the rest of these are not anything that is going to require a mid-year budget change.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember Quinn. Deshaun, did you have another question? I'm so sorry.
No. You said Councilmember Quinn, but I know you meant Councilmember McLeod.
I meant McLeod. Yeah, I was looking at you and sorry, Tom. Councilmember McLeod.
It's okay. We get mixed up all the time. I get it. I have two questions. One, do the safe routes to school get additional priorities, or are they just on the same priority list as every other project?
A question back for clarification. Do you mean additional priorities within the city?
Well, when we put our list together, if some of these items are safe routes to school, do they get an additional bump on the priority list, or no, they just get the same prioritization as every other project?
Yeah, and it looks like Pari might be wanting to jump in on this one. Certainly, they are high-priority projects, and the ones that we have identified in here as potential safe routes to school projects have been identified as specific safe routes to school projects. We do have a generic safe routes to school project CIP page, and when we've identified something, we'll pull it out and make it its own CIP page. But by having that designation does not give us any additional emphasis or ability to get any grants because of that designation. But we do tend to focus on going after the Safe Routes to School grant source.
Yeah, if I may add a little further explanation, committee members, all of these projects that are on this TIP and then SDIP are a priority for us. That's why we put them on this, so that we are eligible for applying for grants as they come available. So I just want to make sure that that's the biggest difference between this and the capital improvement projects that we adopt, which is some of them match, some of them are common between them, but some new projects we add, as soon as we see a grant opportunity, our first step is to add them to the TIP and SDIP.
Yeah, and for the most part, to kind of follow up on what Hari has said, is that we do try to put the projects that we are feel pretty good about being able to get a grant already on this this TIP, so that when the grant sources come up, we don't have to retroactively go and have the project added. So I think we're kind of dancing around your question, but yes, the Safe Routes to Schools projects are priorities for us, absolutely. And we do apply for funding for them regularly to the appropriate funding source.
Okay, thank you. My other question is regarding, I go on the individual, well, I guess it'd be on.
Hey, Tom, you're breaking up.
I have a new phone system here at work, so. can you hear me now, Verna?
Now I can, yeah.
Okay, sorry. My question, the amounts for these projects, are these old amounts or new amounts that we're using?
The amounts for the most part will match or be very consistent with what's in the currently adopted CIP, where we have found additional monies. Again, the 42nd Avenue project, we do have those numbers matching. Sometimes we tweak a little bit, but for the most part, they're going to be fairly consistent, but may not necessarily exactly match.
Okay, thank you. I yield back.
Okay, thanks. I do not have any questions that have not already been asked. So do we have, this will be, the request is to forward this to the June 14th committee, the whole meeting. The other council members, are you okay with that? That's what we will do. All right. Thank you, Cindy. All righty. That moves us on to 2021 resolution of fleet surplus, page 53. And Hari, I think you're going to take this one, or?
Yeah, I'll take this one, committee members. Again, I want to take this opportunity to thank Scott Bates, Cindy, for doing a good job with the transportation program and bringing along the project, even though we had some financial cuts in the year 2020, the staff has done a good job. So what you have in front of you, committee, is the resolution to surplus city equipment for the fleet. And this is something we do every year. So this is what we currently have it fully depreciated, valued at $33,800, and selling the equipment as is. Some of the equipment is functional, however, just to maintain and bring it back to full level of functionality is going to cost more than what the equipment is worth. So it's a fairly standard process. So with that, I'm just going to leave it to the committee if you have any specific questions.
Thank you, Hari. I'll start with Council Member McLeod. Do you have any questions, comments?
I want to ask about the speed limit or speed sign. We don't have any use for those, or we just have too many?
Council Member, I had a little difficulty hearing you. Can you repeat the question, please?
Oh, the speed trailers, radar trailers. Say we...
I believe these are the old trailers that are not in a good shape. So we're trying to replace the one with the newer trailers that are easily towable and be placed, is my understanding.
I'm going to try and change my... What did Councilmember Quinn?
Okay. Some time.
I'll
fill some time for Tom, because I really didn't have any questions. I'm used to it, and especially what we have here seems like the state of the equipment. It has been thoroughly utilized prior to the beyond the past end of life. But so It's more of, so the question that Councilmember McLeod talked about with using maybe older trailers, it's more of a financial challenge, connectability,
yeah.
mobility. So
yeah.
kind of go for the new ones.
Yeah. If you look at your package, page number 58, the pictures of the trailers, and especially look at the trailer number 2 that's at the bottom of the page, bottom left, it's falling apart. And so those are the kind of trailers that are not worth maintaining and keeping. The value, estimated value is 400. Any repair would cost more than 400. So therefore, staff has decided
yeah.
that it has, it's well past its usable time. And
yeah. I'll just repeat, what's in this fleet list is probably one of the rougher fleet lists that I've viewed. So, and then your explanation around the cost for fixing or maintaining, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Question. So I yield back.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I agree with Deshaun. This is a pretty sad looking group of things. This is some of the saddest that I've seen in 16 years. So, but you're right. I mean, the cost to repair doesn't warrant keeping them around. So I am fine with this. And we're being asked to forward this to the June 7th regular meeting consent agenda. Is that fine with my fellow council members? All right. Thank you. All right. Now we'll move on to the state of bridges, which is Mr. Cox, I believe, is going to lead us through this, which starts on page 67.
Yes. Thank you, council members. So this is the annual update to the status or state of bridges within the city of Tukwila. As you know, we have 23 bridges, both vehicle and pedestrian, that the city maintains. And so this is report we usually do annually. It usually comes out in late fall, early winter. Unfortunately, this year, for reporting aspects of this, the reports that from the inspections in 2020, WSDOT decided to update their database system that handles all the reports of all the bridges within the state. And so there was a delay to getting our reports from 2020. So last year we had, in 2020, we had a total of 8 bridges that were inspected. And in the memo, you can see the dates accordingly. This year, we have 2021, we have 14 bridges that will receive an inspection that includes fracture critical and just your routine. So breaking down some of the just a quick status of all the bridges and the efficiency ratings and the inspections, you can see that we have right now 3 bridges on the list that are under 40. That will change as both the Boeing Access Road bridges have received a seismic upgrade in the last 2 years. So from talking with the inspector, they're just a rough estimate that those will be back in the 60s with those seismic improvements and retrofit, as well as the 4001, which is the 196-200th bridge that we share with the city of Kent. We did replace that approach slab that had failed, initially started in the Squalling earthquake. We've just replaced that in the fall of 2019 is when we replaced that infrastructure. So those bridges will obviously be updated once the 2021 inspections are complete and have been reviewed by WSDOT and given back to us. That's just the overall status of all our 23. As far as right now, if you look at the CIP page, you notice that we do allocate about $300,000 a year for the inspection and maintenance of our bridges, and that is more widespread of a industrial standard with that type of allocation for the amount of bridges we have and the amount of money that we put aside for that maintenance and inspection, as well as finding what we need to fix and replace. You also notice in our the amount of hours spent with just our street crews on maintaining our bridges, sweeping, plowing, removing graffiti, cleaning. Those are all allocated in our report. So this is kind of the state of the bridges after our 2020 inspections. This will begin reproduced once we have the status of our 2021 inspections with the updated of the three bridges that had some construction done, did receive inspections this year. So with that, we do have a relatively robust program for our bridge maintenance and allocation. And so that's kind of, this is highlighting that involvement that the city has with our infrastructure.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Hari, do you want to add something?
Yes, committee members. I just want to bring a few highlights to your attention. One is the city owns 23 bridges, 16 of them are traffic bearing, 7 pedestrian. Currently, city has 5 bridges that have sufficiency rating of 80 to 100, 6 bridges that have sufficiency ratings of between 60 and 79, 2 bridges that have sufficiency rating between 40 and 59. So out of all of these traffic-bearing bridges, 3 bridges that have sufficiency rating of 39 or less, out of those 3 bridges, 2 of them we have repaired in the past 2 years. One of them is Boeing Access Road over BNSF. The other one is Boeing Access Road over Airport Way. As Adam has mentioned, Boeing Access Road over BNSF and Airport Way, based on the verbal inspection results we have, both sufficiency ratings will be now going up to 60s. So that's good news to the city that we only have one bridge that sufficiency rating is in poor condition. So in addition to the $400,000 or so every year that we spend on our bridge maintenance, Boeing Access Road over BNSF and Boeing Access Road over Airport Way, the city was successful in getting grants from BRAC funding up to $5 million. And we are very successful in running our bridge maintenance program and protecting our bridges. And the bridge that has poor sufficiency rating is the 42nd bridge. And currently we have a replacement plan for it. So I just want to bring all of that comprehensively to your attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Hari. All right, I will start this time with Councilmember Quinn.
Maybe some of this can be saved for the next topic, but here's a administrative question. When we identify a problem on the bridge, again, and Hari, I'll just say, you're the new Public Works Director, but you're the Public Works Director. So when we have a problem with the bridge, so I'm thinking about two problems. One, really tracking to see, just like with 42nd, the process changed on us. That's one. And then the second one is when we actually have a problem, and just, you know, just looking at the memo, right? It's so 1994 and then some paint, but it was passed through till now. Obviously, there's more narrative associated, but again, how would the legislative body track an opportunity for focused attention? And or how could this bridge inspection repair update alert us when we may need to make more of an investment. And I understand it's a trestle bridge and there's some complications associated, but just as a practice of, you know, the process for bridge inspections, to be able to pull out and have an opportunity to have a legislative discussion about what options do we have? How do we make sure there's never a gap? And you broke down the kind of three areas, you know, kind of who decides the intensity as the next year comes along. Okay, we can't ignore it. These are, you know, the life of the bridge. So sorry for my long question, but, you know, I just really wanted to kind of get down to brass tacks as far as kind of maybe from a perspective of oversight.
Yeah, Councilmember, these are all very good questions. These are all in council's purview of the policy, how we want to move forward. In general, what I can say is any jurisdiction should concentrate on bridges that have substantial ratings falling below a certain number, whether it's 60 or 50. We got to make that call as a administration and the council direction, that anything that's below that rate, we're going to concentrate on these bridges. So therefore, what can we do to improve those sufficiency rating? Because what's going to happen is once you let it slide past that sufficiency rating, then your return on your investment goes really down. So I'm kind of generalizing it. But without having more details on a specific bridge, I think that's the sort of direction that would set this program for success, where we're going to say, we're not going to let any of our bridges fall below this sufficiency rating. And sufficiency rating, what is it driven by? Is it the structure itself? Is it the traffic, the amount, the type of traffic that's going on it? And we can look at it comprehensively and then decide what actions to take place. So that is exactly the right question, Councilmember, that you're asking, and that is the direction we should look forward and take action.
So I just want to make sure I'm hearing what you said, and I understand what you said, but I think I was also hearing you may have a new process that you would propose for us to consider with situations like this. And don't let me put words in your mouth, right? But I'm just using, for example, the change of the methodology. Like, how could we have anticipated that? Now that we've experienced it, unfortunately, it's, you know, it's too late. But I thought I heard that you're going to put in a process, you're going to propose a process for us to consider that highlights the kind of severity and, you know, whether it's some kind of chart, you know, we can't go past this point as on your professional, you know, recommendation. And am I hearing that right?
Correct, council member. That's the direction I think we should move to. And staff will come back to you after we get the report on 42nd. We will come back with how to preserve that bridge, what to do, what action should take. At the same time, we would like a very broad, generic policy that we can adopt. It's very similar to what we do on the pavement rating, pavement mm-hmm. condition,
yeah.
Similar aspects of it.
Okay. And then for now, and I'll just let me go back to this topic. For now, you're not proposing a preliminary step for us to consider, or are you? Oh, it's not in the packet. It's discussion only. So.
Yeah, this is just a routine, a yearly report, but yeah, it's for discussion only.
Okay, I yield back.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod.
All right, the one bridge has a 7.56 rating. At what point do you close a bridge?
Councilmember, that's a very good question again, and it is a complex answer. Unfortunately, it's not a straightforward answer. The sufficiency rating depends on number of cars and trucks and vehicles, average daily traffic is what we count as. If your average daily traffic is lowered, your sufficiency rating improves or increases. So there are ways to restrict the weight, the number of axles that come in, the speed, and the number of daily traffic that come in. These are some of the ways that we can improve that. Even the 7.62 of the existing sufficiency rating can go up if we improve. We're not in this meeting, we didn't come equipped to answer how to improve that 7.62, but we're going to bring that to the next meeting once we have the report from King County and WSDOT on the existing sufficiency rating of 42nd Bridge from the recent report. But 7.62 is a very poor rating, and it is not a good rating that makes me feel comfortable. That's what I can say.
I can add as well that there's no federal bar that there's no number to hit that would create a closure of the bridge.
Do you feel that traffic calming or lowering speeds has been effective?
Again, it's a complex answer in the sense the enforcement is the key to the success of such a program. We were anecdotally told that they have seen larger trucks going there and or trucks speeding there. If you have a police car on both ends of the bridge, that might benefit the enforcement. But we talk to police as much as we can. They only have so much of manpower to enforce, and they do go there every time we complain, when we receive complaints. But that's the short answer to it.
Okay, thank you. I yield back.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tom. This is good. I know that there's going to be further discussion in the next agenda item, and I've got kind of questions that kind of go over into that, so I'll wait for that. But I think we had talked, Hari, that it would be probably beneficial. Remind me, have we actually received the written inspection report for the 42nd Avenue Bridge?
No, Councilmember, we did not. So where we stand right now is they have performed the inspection 4 weeks ago, and since then they have verbally shared the report with us, and they have told us they have not found any major surprises. So as far as we know, the rating, sufficiency rating, has not deteriorated. That's just what we verbally heard. Okay. So the process is for King County to go back and finish their calculations, which we were told they did. And their next step is to forward it to WSDOT to review the work they have done. It's in that process right now. So when the state finishes its review, then it's going to come back to King County, and King County will share it with us.
Okay. And I asked that question for a couple of reasons. Number one, because, you know, it impacts the next agenda item. But also, I think it would be a good idea to do a presentation perhaps to the COW of like a state of the bridges. Mm-hmm. But I think depending on how long it's going to be before we get that report in, I think it would be beneficial to have that report before we do that. So let's just put this as a future COW item if we could, because I think the full council, even though we read each other's packets, I think it would be a good presentation for the full council to hear. Do my fellow council members agree? I'll go to Dijon.
Just really quick, there. You know, sometimes what gets missed in some of these things is a significant reduction in funding. So if you think about in 1994, there was still the federal budget approval process that no longer exists now, right? And so, Hari, what I would like is just we need to kind of, along with the bridge process, like the state of affairs, right? Because I think that's what also gets, I'll just say, it gives me angst, because everyone will say, well, back then we used to fund it. Well, back then it was intentional in the funding. Back then there were more vehicles for the funding. Back then there was more state funding for the funding. I mean, this is kind of a process of how do we continually do a reality check around our financial situation and contextualize every year that we have these bridges, what's available, what's not, who's actually, you know, it's been harder to get funds. I mean, we've seen the change several times, and I don't want to go on and on, but I it's kind of like funding for the social safety net or funding for other things. Like, those things don't exist, but nobody talks about they don't exist anymore. And so for this one, I would say infrastructure funding, like the gaps between the years of where there has been funding. I mean, just think about the Surface Transportation Board and how long it took for reauthorization. So I think those things could also go in the narrative so that everyone knows the state of affairs, because I think we all like to say that years ago, we fund it, why can't we do it like that? And the reality is the sources of funding continue to diminish.
Yeah, absolutely, Councilmember. I do want to make one clarification that I had no intention of, and I did not say that the city never had a good policy or stance on how to maintain our bridges. I think we have done an excellent job. All I am suggesting is to put that in a, with clarity, in some sort of a policy and run it by the council and put that in writing. I think we have, if you look at our history, we have taken every bridge that is between the sufficiency rating of 60 and 40. We paid significant attention to them and start applying for grants. But I think that's where we just want to put it all in a clear policy format. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, Hari. Tom, did you have anything else that you wanted to add? Okay. All right, this is for discussion only. So we will move on then to the next item on the agenda, which is the 42nd Avenue Bridge Replacement Project. So, Adam, I think this is you again.
Yes, it is. Thank you. This is an update to the 42nd Avenue design and the steps we've taken for this project. We've been working with our contractor, Transtech Engineering, has been moving forward with getting the initial design, as you have to start at the base and you have to work your way up. So that's where they kind of started in December, is they gone out and got the surveying data to get a baseline of what's out there. They got the geotech and soil sample data to see what's underneath there. And now they're moving, now they know what the ground and what everything is capable of holding and what the configuration is. They can start adjusting roadways and working at substructures. So that's the current status of the design of the bridge, is that they're still in the very preliminary aspect of getting the base done. And once you can get the base done, then you can, you know, build the superstructure, similar to a house. You have to build the foundation before you can build the roof. So that's kind of the next steps moving forward. We're continuing with our public outreach as we have a meeting on Wednesday and working towards a town hall style meeting this summer in 2021 to then progress towards that 30% design and also the type, size, and location TSNL report that will be produced this fall. And then that's how we select the type, size, and location of the current bridge. And then that's, once we get that selection done, then the design process is almost routine at that point, is that once we have what we want, then they can go ahead and start doing the actual design and getting to that 30% for design. One update that we wanted to get, that we were trying to get to talk about this meeting, is that we did received an email, some almost an informal clarification that we would receive $1.5 million from PSRC to move this design to 100% plans, specs, and estimates. That would, we're trying to use the same engineering firm that is currently doing the design, as that just makes the most logical sense. As they have already started, let them complete the task. That is something that we wanted to bring up in this meeting. Unfortunately, we didn't get the official award letter yet. Like, we just had an email and a verbal clarification for that, the funding that would come in. And we need to be obligated for design by mid-July this year. So that's the next step, is getting that formal, the letter, presenting it back to have you guys accept that funding, and then moving forward as we work with local programs to get the proper paperwork in to obligate funding and provide matching funds for that $1.5 million. And also in our memo, have gone through how the condition rating or the safety rating has presented over the years, when we started tracking it in 94 and to its current 7.56 rating. There was 1 year, the 2013 to 2015, where there was a big drop, and we've explained in the memo some of the aspects that caused that safety rating to drop. It seemed like it was almost a perfect storm of a couple of things that really drove that sufficiency rating down. So that's kind of the highlight of this aspect. The next steps, like I said, moving forward with design, and then hopefully getting that official letter for the funding to start to complete the 100% and not just the 30, and we'll then get have a shovel ready project. With that, if Hari has any comments, or I'd like to field any of your questions.
Thank you, Adam. I'll start with Councilmember McLeod.
I know that there's people listening that want us the discussion to be combined with this subject, but they are two separate subjects. And right now, get a functioning bridge. I know it's functioning now, but to get a higher speed. And so we can lament it. Here we are today. I don't have any real, you need to keep doing what you're doing, but I know it doesn't answer all the questions.
We got most of that, Tom. It's like about every fourth word, we don't hear you, and you kind of break up.
That's too bad, because I solved the problem. I'm going to yield back.
Okay.
I don't have any additional questions.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Quinn.
I just wanted to ask about the expediting the $1.5 million. How can we build in our process to advance that? Because like Councilmember McLeod said, this is a lifeline, and we need to treat it as such. And how do we make sure that staff and us aren't creating more barriers to a problem that we all know needs to be fixed? That's the first question.
Yeah, I can answer that question, Councilmember. That's a good question. What we think is the best way to meet the deadline to qualify for the $1.5 million, they put forth July as the obligation date. So if we keep the existing contractor or consultant, because they were selected by a lag manual procedure, which meets the standards of a grant from PSRC. We submit all the paperwork to the local agencies. Once they accept that we have done it all per the book, then that cuts down the hiring of the consultant process, which usually takes 3 months. So we can cut that short, just use this existing consultant who is already on board to do the 30%. Then they continue finishing the 100% design, and the 1.5 would get us to the 100% design as the, based on every information we have received that includes the management contingency. So we will safely get to the 100%. We'll have a product in our hand, which are the drawings that we can go to bid with, and we can go continue getting more grant applications and make our efforts to get the construction grant much more substantiated.
So we can revisit some of the stuff, but for this topic, again, we need to just make sure we flag it and get it through. And what I heard you say is there's no additional funding needed outside the $1.5 million, correct?
Yeah, based on the money that we already spent from the city's matching side, we calculated that exactly we don't have to spend any more money on this. Just use the 1.5. It will get us to the 100% design.
Okay. So, I would suggest, and again, we have processes, but I would suggest that we maybe expedite this to the full council. There's no real surprises here. And then just the second thing I would also say is this is one lifeline. There's another lifeline as well. And it will be assessed differently, but it's really quality of life. So we can get to that topic, the next one, but I wanted to be really kind of firm that, let's expedite this and then let's figure out the next topic. But I view it the same. It's a lifeline.
Yeah, absolutely, council members. So I also want to give the full picture on 42nd. We went to state for the bridge replacement grant in April of this year. So we were told that the local bridge engineer would come take a look at this bridge along with a few of the other bridges in August and September of this year. They will decide by the end of the year which one of them are getting the construction grant. And if we miss this cycle, it's every 2 years they apply for it again. So we will be continuous, and our goal is to finish the design, get the construction grant. If not this cycle, next cycle, we will relentlessly work on it. Staff are doing a good job. And I also want to bring your attention to page 89 of your package, the sufficiency rating from 94 to 2019 on 42nd Bridge. As you see, when 94, the bridge was handed off to us by King County, it was in 50s, and some of the improvements we did, the sufficiency rating did go up. And then in between 2005 and 2006, there was a methodology change of calculation where the sufficiency rating went even higher, and then it came down substantially. The rate change from satisfactory to fair and poor was because of the superstructure, which is a steel truss, and the substructure, which is concrete bridge piers, went from satisfactory condition to fair, and then poor in the substructure. So what this shows is that the decrease in the sufficiency rating coincide with the real damage or real destruction in the bridge elements. So I just want to bring that to your attention that it's something that's very important for all of us to look at the cycle, the life cycle, and how the rates change.
Deshaun.
Councilmember Sale, I'm happy to defer to you, and I know we have one more topic.
Well, and I wanted, because actually I wanted to clarify something that you had said that I heard, that I think what I heard Councilmember Quinn say, and I do agree with this, is when we get the letter for the 1.5 from PSRC, just go straight to the committee of the whole on that. Is that what I heard you say, Deshaun? Because that's what I'm saying. It doesn't need to come to committee. Let's just bring it to the full council, because no need to you know, spend another week or two here, because we'll just pass it right through, because I think that's what I heard you say, right, Deshaun? Okay, so is staff clear then on that? Okay. Okay, Deshaun, did you want to say something else on this before we move on to the next topic?
I would just quickly add, you know, I think we should have a discussion about what potentially, because I wasn't clear whether it was just rapid degradation of key components or some other environmental factor that can contribute to it, because on the surface it sounds like an explanation, but it also sounds like there was rapid degradation to the key portions of the bridge, and then trying to figure out what contributed to that. But I don't need an answer today, but I just really kind of following your commentary, Hari, I just wanted to zero in on that and that distinction.
No, I think that's a really good point, and I think that's something that we could, as we discuss, as we move forward with this project, I think that's part of the dialogue, right? Okay. All right. So that moves us on. So that was discussion only. So now we'll go to the BNSF alternate access study. Hari, I think you're taking this.
So again, council members, this committee chair and committee members, this is BNSF alternative access study that was done to improve or look for alternative ways to get the BNSF intermodal yard truck traffic out of the Allentown neighborhood to improve the quality of life in Allentown, which is a priority to the city and the residents that are living there. With that understanding, BNSF intermodal yard studies were dated as back as to 1990s. And the historic alternative route consideration timeline is shown in 97, in 98, and 2000. And so they looked at various options to get the trucks out of the Allentown neighborhood. And the most recent study was in 2015 and 2016, there were open houses on four new access routes and one existing route. And then in December 2016, draft study findings were transmitted to the City Council, and a notice of CEPA application was issued, with a comment period ending June 2nd, 2017. And another open house was held in August 17, 2017. Notes were attached to this memo. And there were some personnel changes since then. There were some discussions with the committee regarding this. But I just want to leave you with that timeline. So behind this timeline, I did a lot of research. Obviously, I wasn't here at that time. I went and to the clerk's website and worked with council analyst Laurel and talked to as many of the staff that are either present at that time or have worked on the project since then, and tried to piece the timeline together to the best of what we know. And as far as I can tell, this is a combination and combined research of several of our staff. This is the best picture of what activity has happened on this project. There may be one or two pieces here and there, but this is the most comprehensive timeline that anyone has put together in one place to understand the effort that went in. The alternative analysis included joint work with BNSF. That was a recent alternative study for 241,000 and some change was spent on it. and Airport Way South, Gateway Drive North Leg, South 112th Street, 48th Avenue South, and then the existing route, which is 42nd Bridge and the 124th. The map down the next page presents all of these five different options. The Airport Way is up on the north of the map. Airport Way alternative includes a steep turn and some lack of pavement in the access road. And so there are some difficulties with that, but that is one option that was, and South 112th Street is another option that was studied. And the Gateway Drive includes, sorry, my dogs are barking. The Gateway Drive includes going through a neighborhood that's used for commercial business. And then the South 134th Street, and then the 48th Avenue South Bridge extension was also looked at as one of the options. So where, based on my research, based on what where all of the staff facts that we found out, what are the potential next steps on this BNSF access study? To move forward with the alternative access analysis, the environmental review must be resumed for a set of feasible alternatives and the status quo, because the status quo as presented in this report includes building some roundabouts and some noise reduction walls. So status quo is not simply status quo. It has some construction and permitting to it. So therefore, all of these must be studied. So what includes the EIS? The EIS includes all of the elements that are on your page that have 16 items, earth, air, water, plants. Everything will be looked at, including utilities and easements and all that. And once they look at all of that, the EIS scoping will decide and score on these options. And based on that, the choices will be presented to pick the alternative analysis. As the next chapter for this project challenges wants to very clearly lay out, and I think this is something that lacked in the history of this project, is to be very clear with residents, to be very clear with the council and everybody, that all of these options have a complicated potential challenges involved with it, not just simply challenges opposition by the folks that are living there, or landowners, and or others. There are significant issues involving environmental concerns, construction, constructability issues, lack of right-of-way, or issues like that makes every one of these options in its unique way that is challenging. So the anticipated cost considerations, option one is to update previous cost estimates, because the cost estimates that were done in the draft were old numbers. And so the numbers can be updated. That's between 15,000 to 50,000, but that only tells you part of the story. That will only bring up the cost estimates. Option two is to take the EIS environmental study on all alternatives, either to full EIS or partial EIS, but basically study every single one of them and all the 16 components that were shown above. The estimated cost effect for this is $750,000 to $900,000. That's just the work for the EIS by a consultant. We would like also to present that managing this project would require a term limited project manager from the city. That would be $300,000 for 2 years. That's in addition to the $900,000. This brings the total estimated cost up to $1.2 million for the EIS and the city staff. And option three is to not do option one and two, or do an option three in combination. But option three is to do research and analyze funding options and secure future funding options. You could do option three while option one and two are going, or you could do option three first and do option first, but these are all our potential options. Project costs include, for example, every one of the projects has cost estimates, whether it's for the construction of the bridge, if there is a bridge needed. Even the existing bridge replacement, existing route has 42nd bridge replacement as a cost included in the cost. So I just want to make sure that we are fully aware of the cost impacts of all of these. Like I mentioned before, there are going to be potential litigation, whether it's due to complexity of these issues that might affect the environmentally or property owners adversely, or the land or tribal issues, and then city and state governments and businesses may get adversely impacted by some of these. So overall, the financial impact of option one is 15 to 50,000. Option two is 1.2 million. Option three has no cost associated with it, so I didn't put that in the financial impact. Staff recommends it is the most appropriate to proceed with options one and two. With that, they bring your attention to two attachments that were there. One is the whole BNSF study, and the other one is the notes they took from the public outreach meetings. Any comments that were given by public at that time are not lost. They're all stored, and they will be used for all future projects. With that, I'm ready for questions.
Great. Thank you, Hari. I also want to let my fellow council members know that whereas the agenda says that this is for discussion only, we can move out of this committee if we want to. A recommendation for the full council, put this on the next COW to get it moving quicker, whatever we end up doing. But for example, we could say, okay, we recommend going forth, staff's recommendation with option one and option two, go. So I wanted to let my fellow council members know that, because I clarified that this afternoon. And with that, I'll open it up for questions. Council Member Quinn.
Yeah, just really quick, looking at the time, I support moving the recommendation option one and two and three. I mean, come on. And I hope we've learned the lesson as you kind of went through the list. There's a benefit of transparency. And so there's a component around trust, verify, and then verify again. I think that is some of the messages coming out of at least some of the answers that the administration provided as to why there were start and stops. And I would just say, yeah, let me stop there. So I just wanted to be responsive to the chair and just let's one, two, and three.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, Council Member McLeod.
Okay, if you can hear me good, Hari, does BNS?
We didn't hear that, Tom.
Locked into only.
We didn't catch.
Are there multiple options into the current?
Tom, we're not getting you at all.
Oh, sorry. Is that any of that any better?
Yeah.
Oh, does BNSF besides the current?
We lost you again.
Accept other options? We know that they like.
If I could jump in.
I texted you, Mike.
Having Councilmember McLeod turn off his video may help with the audio coming through.
There you go. Let's try that.
Verna, I texted you my question.
Will BNSF acceptance of other entrances?
Yeah, like the north end or 112th.
Yeah, that's a good question, Councilmember. Based on the report, I'm looking at the report. I'm looking at the scoring of the report. What it includes is that anything other than the 48th, BNSF has to make modifications to their operations within their yard. So it will include some changes to their infrastructure within that is associated with costs. Will they be amenable to it? That's a question to them. I did not never directly ask them that question, but it's going to cost them up to $20 million in one of the options to make changes within their site.
Okay. I support 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. And I do as well. So, Hari, can we just get this to the next COW? You know, I'm guessing that would not be tonight. It would be, what is that, June 14th? Is that a COW? Is that a regular meeting?
June 14th, that's right.
June 14th. Okay, so if we can get this on the June 14th COW, I think that would be great. Yes.
Yeah. One detail I want to say, this just for you to consider, is if we get the $1.5 million come available from the PSRC funding on 42nd, that may be the money that it's up to the council to move that on to this project. I just want to put that out there for you.
Okay, and we could talk about then at that time. So okay, well I think staff has direction, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the last thing I want to say tonight is I think this is Ms. Larbonara's last meeting with us because she's retiring. Gail, is that true? She's not even listening.
Yeah, that is true. My last Monday today.
Well, I want to thank you for all of your hard work all these years, all of our meetings we've had. I know that we've all picking up that phone and sitting over there in the old 6300 building talking about this. But I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of myself and I'm sure the other council members too. Deshaun, do you want to say a couple? We've got like 2 minutes.
Yeah, there's not enough time.
I know.
But I'll say, Gail, you've been a rock. You've been somebody who we could go to for information and accuracy. And that I'm going to miss that a lot. And I'm going to also miss your professionalism and your humor. I mean, I think it makes that work manageable. But again, you have been an asset to the city. There's mm-hmm. no question in my mind. And tell your husband I said hello. Hope he still has that purple sweater.
Tom, do you want to say a couple words? If you can.
I just want to say, Gail, thank you. It's been a treat to work with you, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. Look at that. Now his microphone works. thank you. Thank you for a wonderful 30 years with the city of Tukwila. I've enjoyed it.
We're going to be. Yep.
Thank you, Gail. We enjoyed. I cannot say 30 years. Maybe 3 months in this position for me.
Poor Hardy. All right, Gail, again, thank you very much. And thank you, council members. We've got about 10 minutes left. So thank you, guys. Take care.